What's up, guys? Rick here with your preview for the Masters. And this is going to be really special. I'm making the trip down there for the very first time. I cannot wait to be your eyes, your ears, your boots on the ground. We're going to go through the entire field and the golf course and everything that you need to know for this week from a data-driven perspective. I'll show you all the tools that I've built on my website, but a couple of items right out of the gate here. I'll make these announcements throughout the show as well, but I just want to have them all in one spot and remind you that the links for everything that you are going to need are in the description. First off, because I am traveling this week, the live chat is going to be on Tuesday night. So right now, it is scheduled for 8 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday night. I know that's a different time than normal, but I'm going to be at Augusta National on Wednesday, and I don't see any way I'm leaving and going back to the hotel to do the live chat. So we are going to do it Tuesday night when I get in. And if you want to drop your questions, concerns, and comments now, I'll compile them in case YouTube erases them, and we'll go through as many as we can on Tuesday night. It should be an absolute blast. Other than that, a couple of other items. I mentioned this last week, I have added the LIV strokes gain data to rickrungood.com, my website. So this is the actual breakdowns, round by round, shot level data, so that you can see how everybody is playing and what they've done here this year. So for example, Brooks Koepka was miserable in Miami. He lost strokes on approach, a ton of them, gained off the tee, etc. Okay. So now rickrungood.com, I've got agreements with a bunch of different tours. So you're getting strokes gain breakdowns from PGA, LIV, the European Tour. You're getting more data from Korn Ferry, Senior Tour, Asian Tour. All that stuff is coming into one. Just wanted to point that out because it's going to be extra critical this week for the Masters. Additionally, because you guys have been so good with filling the splash contests, where every week we have the weekly listener league, they made our contest the big one, the $250,000 guaranteed contest, where someone is going to win $45,000 guaranteed. Now that is not the payout structure I would have liked, but it's not bad. It's fun. And it is, it's guaranteed. Sometimes we have to compromise. So the link for this is in the description. It's $100 entry. It is tiers like we always have, and it's for all four major championships. But once you pick a golfer, you cannot use them again. So if you pick Scottie Scheffler for the Masters, you cannot use them for the US Open. So it's kind of like a mix between a one and done and a tiers contest, which is very, very cool. The link is in the description. Additionally, trying to think what else I have to mention. Oh, this is the last call for underdog best ball drafts. If you didn't see it, I did a 2-hour live show on Saturday where I drafted a bunch of teams. This is best ball, so you only do the drafts. You do not have to do any roster constructions. You don't have to set lineups. You can't, actually. It's not that you don't have to. You can't. And then whoever your highest scoring players are given to you. So someone is going to win $50,000 in this contest as well. So this is $10 entry. You can draft up to 150 times in this contest. Incredibly fun and awesome for major championship season. I do have a code that'll get you a deposit match there up to $100. So use the code Rick. And again, there is a link in the description. I tell you all of this because this is, you know, I hate to bombard you with all of this right out of the gate on a major championship week, but this is when the stuff gets the biggest. It's when it gets the most interesting, and the community that we've built allows for all of this. So super stoked to announce all that. And let's get into it. Augusta National Golf Club. That's going to be really cool to be at. Cannot wait to touch the grass. That will be key. Couple of items. This is the course key stats on rickrungood.com. The shot level data for the Masters is not shared with the PGA Tour in the same ways that the PGA Tour events have shot level data. So you're not going to see all the course stats, but everything that I do have available is here. This is a correlation model that I run for every single golf course. And we have a lot of great history at Augusta National. We play here every year. We get similar strength of fields. We get similar size fields, all that fun stuff. when you look at the most correlated stats to success, a lot of them are pretty highly correlated. The best is tee to green. You're going to have to be a great tee to green player. There's only two other courses on the PGA Tour schedule where strokes gained tee to green is more important. Driving distance is 10th. Around the green is 9th. Approach is 16th. You're going to need a complete player here. Talking through this a little bit more, the course has gotten longer over the past couple of years and just routinely gets longer. The forecast on Thursday looks fairly wet. I believe there's rain in the forecast on Wednesday, and then there's definitely rain in the forecast on Thursday. Friday's kind of up in the air at the moment. So even for the first two rounds, this golf course might play even longer, and you will also be hitting longer shots into a lot of these greens. You have to be long off the tee. You've got to be able to hit long irons in multiple directions. You've got to have a stout around the green game, and you don't have to be a great putter, but experience on these putting surfaces goes a long way. The greenside areas will ask everything of you. They will ask you questions you don't know if you have the answers to or not. You're going to be asked to hit a lot of long irons, bring them in high, get them to stop and land softly. A true test of golf that is not predicated on narrow fairways, right? There's a lot of open space out here. There's no rough, right? There's a lot of, you can be a little bit errant off the tee. Ideally, you are more errant right than you are left. Left gets you into a lot of trouble at Augusta National. Lost golf balls, big numbers. Right? Yeah, you've got a lot more room over there. So when you start to see the other correlated stats, tee to green being number one, look at bounce back. Bounce back's not a great stat in general, but at a major championship, that makes a lot of sense. The ability to think your way through this golf course, to be a professional, to be conservative when you need to be conservative, aggressive when you need to be aggressive. The bounce back stat is pretty telling. Then you get a couple of like approaches, long approach stats. Neither of them are particularly great by themselves, but you start adding up the approaches and you say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Long approaches, that passes the sniff test. Par five scoring, driving distance, going for the green, par breakers, birdie or better, par five birdie or better leader. So now we're getting a lot into distance, using your distance, going for the green, and scoring. Can you break par? Can you make birdies? Can you make birdies on par fives? Are those going to be your best scoring opportunities? So now we're starting to build the type of golfer that we're looking for this week. A well-rounded golfer who is ideally longer off the tee, who has soft hands, who can hit their long irons well, and can make enough birdies. You're going to make bogeys. That's why I think the bounce back is also pretty telling too, because you're going to make bogeys out here. Can you make enough birdies to offset that? Can you avoid making those bogeys when the opportunity presents itself? Just an absolute, true, amazing test of golf. When you take all of that information and you run it through the last 36 rounds for every single golfer in this field, I calculate an adjusted fit number. And Scottie Scheffler, to probably no one's surprise, gets the best adjusted fit number, about two strokes. Joaquin Niemann is second. John Rahm is third, Xander Schauffele is fourth, and Bryson DeChambeau is fifth. It's curious because adjusted fit, course fit, doesn't matter if you've ever played this golf course or not. It just says on paper, how good are you going to be? And Bryson on paper should be better now than in previous years, but still has a lot of questions that need to be answered. We'll talk about him quite a bit. Then Sergio and Hideki. Yeah, makes sense. Rory and Finau. There's a lot of names to get to. Let's start getting to them. The new updated cheat sheet at rickrungood.com that allows you to see as much recent history as you want, as much tournament history as you want, and just really enjoy every second of this. There are five golfers over $10,000. Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, and Wyndham Clark. We've got to talk about probably all of these guys, right? In some form or a fashion. Strap in. We might be here for a while. Scottie Scheffler is the best player on the planet. It's not particularly close. What he has been doing from tee to green, if you have not been paying attention, is truly Tiger-esque. Last 36 rounds for everybody in this field across all tours, Scottie Scheffler is still gaining nearly a half a stroke on the next closest guy. That's Joaquin Niemann, who's been destroying LIV in 2024. And then he is nearly a full stroke better than Jon Rahm, who is in third. It is mind-boggling. Okay. And the thing that I find different about Scotty than some of these other guys is Scotty might not win. He is historically short in terms of favorites. I've got some stuff coming in my newsletter about that for this week, rickrungood.com/newsletter. We've got some historic odds. The thing about him is he might not win, but he's certainly going to be in the mix. And I don't know if I can say that about anybody else. You know, when you start looking at the how frequently he is gaining two or more strokes to the field, he's doing it 61% of the time. It's an outrageous number. Him and Joaquin Niemann, huge gap to everybody else, just by far. The frequency in which he's gaining four or more strokes to the field, it is just a constant barrage of there's just no bad days out here. And if there are, he follows it up with three good ones. And you look at his history around here, this is a golf course that begs for elite tee to green play. And he's the most elite tee to green player since Tiger Woods. So four straight top 20s, including a victory, are no surprise. We talk about this a lot because, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking. Like, $12,100, it's not expensive enough. It is just not. It's going to be a game theory situation. How highly owned is Scotty going to be? Based on the odds, based on the historic nature of it, based on what he's doing right now, it's not high enough. Jon Rahm is $11,200. And Rahm, the only stuff that we have from him is going to be from LIV in 2024. But look at what he's done. He's gained at least six strokes from tee to green in four of their five starts. He hasn't finished worse than eighth. He played well in Miami, just a couple of mistakes here and there, and he doesn't end up winning. I think he finished three shots out of the playoff between Dean Burmeister and Sergio Garcia. But again, always in the mix. I feel like at this point, Rory obviously has a ton of upside, but Rahm and Scotty are just almost certainly going to be in it on Sunday. Neither of them may win, but they're going to be contending. They're going to be in it. And those tee to green numbers, they carry, right? They go back to BMW PGA Championship. He gained 11 and a half strokes there. That was a DP World Tour event. He was phenomenal at the Ryder Cup, just tee to greened the U.S. to death. The start in Spain, the start in Dubai. I mean, this is just unreal stuff all across the globe. All the Jon Rahm that you can eat. Rory McIlroy did just enough last week, right? And actually, I should say more than that. What were the questions that we had for Rory McIlroy coming into the Texas Open? The left miss. Is he going to continue to miss left? Is he going to continue to make a big number? Is he going to figure out the second shot? He mostly answered those questions. Finished solo third. Now he was, what, nine shots out of the playoff. But gained 7.5 strokes on approach, which was fourth best in the field. He did not make a lot of big numbers at all. He did make one double. He made a double on Saturday morning in his first hole of the day, but he only made three bogeys on the week, which was the fewest in the field, and gained strokes on approach all 4 days. This is such a much more promising stat profile from him than we saw even in his first four events of 2024. Now, there's something non-statistical about Rory when he gets to the Masters. Right. And when he gets there, is he going to be able to set aside the demons and play well? I don't know that, but it's probably one of the better stat profiles that we have for him. It's definitely his best stat profile that we have of him of 2024. And one of the more encouraging that we've seen basically since he went on that run in Dubai, where he finished second and first at the beginning of 2024. Also, you've got to keep in mind, you know, go to the Holy Grail. Go to Augusta National, punch that in for the course, load this field. This golf course has such strong history, right? I mean, it is one of the stickier courses. So anytime that we can use course history, you know, this is our gold standard. Rory McIlroy is right here. 32 rounds, gaining 2 strokes per round since 2015. There is no one, I lied, Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is the only golfer in the field who has been better than Rory McIlroy at Augusta National in as many rounds. Scotty's been better, but half the rounds. DJ's been just as good in slightly fewer rounds. So this is, and that's with 2 missed cuts, right? So spectacular stuff coming from Rory. I cannot wait to see what the industry does with the bottom of the 10K range. Brooks Koepka's 10,200, and it's Brooks at a major, so you know that that's good. His 2024 has not been very solid. He did open up in Mayakoba for LIV with a T5 and knocked the cover off the ball, gained 9 strokes, ball striking there. That is just a continuation after his win in Jeddah. Just this was, we were setting up for peak Brooks Masters run. Then he finishes 12th in Vegas, where he loses a stroke and a half ball striking. Finishes 12th in Jeddah, which is a place he had back-to-back wins, and he played okay there. He gained throughout the bag. That's fine. Hong Kong starts really hemorrhaging with the putter, loses 3.5 strokes putting there. Loses another 3.5 in Miami, but then matches that with just some horrendous approach play. And now we are questioning, what's the state of Brooks Koepka's game? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if he will fly under the radar because it's major championship Brooks, and the way it's going to end up working is you're going to have people who only play, who are looking at this, oh, you know, I'm only going to play Brooks 4 times a year, right? I don't get to click his name often. I'm going to click it here. So really interested to see what happens. Do the LIV guys in general suck up a little bit more ownership just because we haven't had a chance to play them as much, or the general public hasn't had a chance to play them as much? I'll be interested to see what happens there, because I think Brooks is the most interesting golfer, at least of the top part here, just because I don't know what people are going to do. And I don't really care about the form, but I care a little bit. Wyndham Clark's the other one. Wyndham Clark might just be a baller, right? This is his first Masters. He's never played the Masters. He's like the 4th-ranked golfer in the world. He's never played the Masters. He's got a ton of wins since last year in all big-time events. What's his skill set? What is Wyndham Clark's skill set? Hit it far. Yep, check. That goes well here. Be good with long irons. Yeah, he's okay. Around the green, can he get up and down? Yeah, he can. It's not like he has every single shot in the bag. And then he's a phenomenal putter. Doesn't have the history. We don't have that. Can he make enough birdies? I think the answer here is almost definitely yes. Definitely, yeah. 2nd in birdie or better percentage. 6th in birdie average. The only thing he doesn't answer is experience. And because of that, he'll be the overlooked one here. And there is a real chance that he is just an elite golfer and can win big time events. And I will be there to accept that. The 9K range is incredible. Xander Schauffele is seemingly on the verge. I look at what he has been able to do, not only throughout the bag, but this season with a runner-up finish at the Players, a 5th-place finish at the Valspar, T4 at Riviera. His 2024 is better than just about everybody's. And he does it in a well-rounded fashion. So he's 4th in total strokes gained over the last 36 rounds for everybody in this field. Joaquin Niemann, Scotty Scheffler, Ludwig, and then Xander. The history around here. Xander's course history, again, just about as good as anybody. 22 rounds, 1.26, missed the cut in 2022, and has a bunch of decent finishes outside of that. It might be Xander's time. We'll see. But Joaquin Niemann is here. And I don't know if people outside of this circle, like people who are in this every single week and who are paying attention to LIV, are going to realize how good Niemann has been. So when I say he's gained 2.6 strokes per round in the last 36, that's an obscene number. Scotty Scheffler's right there with him, 2.59. They're both nearly a full stroke better than the rest of the field. That is the same gap from Ludwig in third to Russell Henley in 38th. I mean, these two guys are statistically lapping the field. You can decide whether, Joaquin Niemann doing it on LIV is as impressive or less impressive or more impressive than Scotty doing it on the PGA Tour. But I do also want to point out, this stretch is not just limited to LIV. This stretch goes back to LIV last year, fifth at the Australian PGA, which is a very good event. He wins the Australian Open. That's a DP World Tour event. He finishes fourth in Dubai, very strong event. Wins LIV Mayakoba, finishes third in Oman. It's a weak Asian tour event, but it's a full field event with a cut and all that stuff. Four rounds. He was great. Finishes third there. Wins in Jeddah, and then has two more top 10 finishes on the LIV circuit. And you look at what he did in Miami. Look at these ball striking numbers. You know, this golf course asks for elite tee to green play. Yeah. Great long irons. Yeah. That's Niemann. Short game. Yeah. How about the history? Getting better every single year. This is what growing experience looks like, right? Plays in 2018, misses the cut. 40th in 2021, 35th in 2022, 16th in 2023. You'd be 0% surprised to see that go to like eighth or better, right? If he just continues to make these improvements, he's clearly playing the best golf of his life. I think Niemann is just in for a massive week. Now we will see. We'll see what the industry does with him. In the same way that Brooks Koepka and Wyndham Clark were the kind of the X factors of that top 10K range, Victor Hovland is the X factor of the 9K range. I'm not sure anybody wants to play him. You know, he has been off since the Players' Championship. The 2024 has not been good to him. The around the green metrics are back to being abysmal. He'll be the first to tell you that. This is such a demanding around the green course. Even for me, this would be difficult to summon a lot of courage and be overweight on with Victor Hovland. I love what he's done here. I love the way he can hit it high and he's got all the shots and everything like that. But this, he's in the middle of something, and that around the green game is too reminiscent of some of the bad times for me, especially on a golf course that's going to demand excellence in that area. It's a shame, but might be very, very low owned. Who will not be low owned is Hideki. Hideki might be the third or fourth best golfer in the world right now. I don't know what the metrics are going to say. Let's look up the last, let's do this. Let's do Holy Grail. So everybody in this field since January 1st. And that would be, that is also going to be across their, you know, respective tours. So it'll just January 1st. That's all it's going to be. Best player in the world, Joaquin Niemann. Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, Xander, Rory. Where's Hideki? I would have thought Hideki would have been a lot higher than this. Where is he? Right here. He's played 35 rounds in 2024. Oh, wow. He has. Okay. So here's what's going on. He's getting destroyed by losing 10 and a half strokes at the Century, and he's getting destroyed by losing 7 strokes at Pebble. Other than that, he's been phenomenal. Great Farmers Week, good Phoenix Week. He wins at Riviera, goes nuts. And then since then, he is back to being elite ball striking Hideki. Valero last week was nuts. The other thing, I hate hearing this. The broadcast always says he has an underrated around the green game. No, he doesn't. Or I'm sorry. They always say he has an underrated or a much improved short game. No, he's always been great around the green. You just haven't noticed because he's always been a bad putter and now he's putting a little bit better. This dude has hands graced by God. Just incredible. We do the last 200 rounds. I don't know where he's going to show up. Let's find out. Last 200 rounds for everybody in the world, I'm going to sort by around the green play. I bet you Hideki, yeah. Justin Thomas is number one. Scottie Scheffler is number two. Steven Yeager is number three. and Hideki Matsuyama is number four. Elite ball striker, great hands, amazing long irons, putting a little bit better this year. Hideki should be very, very popular. Oh yeah, by the way, he's won this event. He's played well here plenty in the past. Is playing golf like that guy again. I'm so excited for Hideki. Cannot wait. The 8K range is where I really start to think that a lot of decisions have to be made. You know, everybody 9K and up in this field, especially with all the live guys back, like everybody's playing pretty well. Everybody's kind of interesting. Cam Smith, I find fascinating and somebody that I'll likely be overweight on by the time we get to Thursday morning. Withdrawals from Live Miami. Food poisoning, ill, played one round. They don't think it's going to impact anything. He'll be fine by Masters week. Just like wasn't feeling good. Finished runner up in Hong Kong, finished eighth in Mayakoba. The rest of his year, it's been fine. The couple of things we need to know about Cam Smith, not very accurate off the tee. He can get away with that here. Short game, incredible. Putting, incredible. Look at his history around here. Last 4 years, runner-up, 10th, 3rd, 34th. That does not even include a T5 in 2018. This is a really good setup for him. It's a really good setup for him, and I think that people are going to opt to go for DJ, who won in Vegas earlier this year and has a green jacket already and did not just withdraw. Like, it's just the things that Cam does poorly will be not negated, but they won't be as important here. And the things that he does really well will be magnified here. They'll be much more important here. So, thrilled with that. Justin Thomas. I've been thinking that Justin Thomas was going to win the Masters for 6 months. The metrics that I saw at the end of last year and into the start of 2024, it reinforced that. The back to being the elite approach player, 100%. I showed you the power rankings for the best around the green players in the last 200 rounds. So for most of those guys, that's two full years. It's Justin Thomas. There's two things to worry about. The putter is not even miserable. It's worse than that. Loses basically 8.5 strokes putting over his last two starts. And of course, he just splits with Bones. I don't know who's going to be on his bag. Is a new voice what he needs? Is it a bit like, I don't know. I think that it's long overdue that those guys split, but the timing's pretty curious. Who's going to be on his bag for this week? He had this run where he was getting better every single time at the Masters, 39th, 22nd, 17th, 12th, and 4th. Then he went 21st and 8th, and then he missed the cut in 2023, which was by far the worst year of his career. So I'm willing to let that go. I'm much more tepid thinking that Justin Thomas is going to win, but I still think he's going to be in the mix. I just truly believe that. This is a tee to green golf course with experience. And once you start playing here, you tend to play well here a lot. The only time he hasn't played well is the year where he didn't play well anywhere. So I may be cooling on Justin Thomas winning, but I do think that he's going to be in the mix. And I'm starting to think Tony Finau is going to be in the mix too. He's brewing. He is, you know, when you can look at his stat profile and you can see that he's brewing, right? I mean, he's been phenomenal off the tee all of 2024. He's played a lot in 2024. He gains 5 strokes off the tee in Houston, adds another 3 on approach. He is one of the better ball strikers this year, right? Like, let's just look at it. So we still have the 2024 filter in there. We're now sorting by ball striking, and Tony Finau is right here, a stroke per round, right between Ludwig and Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris. So very, very good, very high-end ball striker, underrated short game, and has at least gained strokes putting in 3 of his last 4. Lost 3 in Houston, probably would have won that event if he didn't. The other thing is Augusta National does does kind of let him be a little bit wayward off the tee, use the distance. If it is going to be wet, if it is going to be a little bit longer and all that fun stuff, that's all good for Finau, who's $8,600. Real big concerns about Colin, right? Colin Morikawa, who once was the best second shot player in the world, has now lost strokes on approach in three straight. He has combined that with a even worse putter than normal. It is not good when a golfer loses their weapon, especially when their weapon is being the best second shot player in the world. And now he is a well below average one here in 2024. This is a lot of concern. This does not pass the stat test. It also doesn't really pass the sniff test. If you go watch him, he looks lost. He looks confused. He looks like he's working on stuff in the middle of the round. It is not fun. It is not good. What will be good, hopefully, is the live chat on Tuesday night. So just throwing this in there, reminding you that the live chat is Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. That could change. Might be 8:30. It's going to be after travel. I'm traveling. I got to get into town, all that stuff. Got to get to Augusta. But we will do it Tuesday night. Drop your questions, concerns, and comments in there right now. Bryson deserves a look. Bryson has been, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think he's probably been the best LIV golfer this year that doesn't have a win. Is that possible? So let's see here. Strokes gained total. Bryson is right behind Rory. I know they're skewed a little bit. They only have 15 rounds. And the bottom half of those fields are very, very weak. But he's the sixth best player in the field. The other guys ahead of him, Rahm. I guess Rahm doesn't have a win yet on LIV. Neiman does have one. But this is... There's a lot here. Bryson has been humbled by Augusta National, right? He tried to say it was a par 68, and then the place has beaten the crap out of him. He is not the same guy of tee it high, let it fly, go find it. He's not that guy anymore. He's not using the Cobra driver. He's using that crank driver, which has got a lot better spin rates for him. The control is a lot better. He's not even nearly as big as he was before. He's a lot more fit. He's a lot more in shape. He's playing a different style of golf. I don't know if you've seen it recently, but it's a lot better, more sustainable style of golf. So I like that. What I do not like, and these metrics are phenomenal. Like, let's be real. They're really, it's gaining throughout the bag. I do not like that, you know, the short game for him and uneven lies for him have often caused him trouble because he has the one length clubs, right? And having a pitching wedge that is the length of a 7-iron when the ball is a foot above your feet is not the greatest thing in the world. And he is not, maybe not creative enough to compete and contend at the Masters. I don't think this is a super hot take, but I believe Bryson will have his best Masters result this year. I think he's confident. I think he's fit. I think the game is sharp. I think he will try to attack this a little bit differently. It's a pretty low bar because his best finish is 29th in 2019. I'm sorry, 21st, his first start. I think he was an amateur. Low am. Wasn't he in Butler Cabin? 21st in 2016. That's his best result. I believe he will beat that this year. So much good stuff in the 7K range. Just when I try to get like Matt Fitzpatrick, I was ready to just smack him in the head on Thursday of Valero. Friday just barely makes the cut. And then, of course, he has a weekend where he gains 6 strokes to the field and starts to look like Matt Fitzpatrick again. Really impressive. His results of the Masters have been good enough to keep me interested. And I like that, you know, low expectations, play well on the weekend, get your game in shape. He's got back-to-back top 14 finishes here. He's missed the cut one time. It was in 2014. He has only a couple of results outside the top 30. He's been very, very good at Augusta National. And I don't think anybody realized how good his weekend was last week. Sahith is here, finished 9th last year. Coming off the T28 in Houston, again, he is similar to, I don't want to say exactly like Cam Smith, they're not close at all, but very good putter. His hands around the green worry me, but he's going to be able to spray it off the tee. Tyrrell Hatton is here. Tyrrell Hatton had a decent chance to win in Miami last week in, at LIV. Finished, I think he ended up finishing three shots outside the lead, but just coughs it up off the tee, something that he doesn't usually do. Gains five strokes on approach. The tee to green metrics, even the well-roundedness of his results are great. His 2024 for LIV's been awesome. He hasn't finished worse than 21st. He's got four top 15s. Two of them are top eights. His Masters history. Remember, he was like, he was complaining about Augusta National one year. Just the absolute best, this guy. His Masters history, or his tournament history, is not great. He's barely ever putted well here. But this is, I'm interested to see how that the stuff that he's doing on LIV translates to this golf course. I'll just point it out. Corey Connors finished 25th at Valero. This is like the only golf course he can putt on, right? I think we've talked about this before, kind of in like some of the early lead-in stuff, probably last week as well. The best golf courses for Corey Connors are TPC San Antonio and Augusta National, right? So here is TPC San Antonio, and Augusta National is right here. But actually, the most encouraging part about that is what he's done with the putter. Gained 5.5 strokes putting in 2022, gained two strokes putting in 2020, was a zero in 2019. I was reading the wrong column. Those were the short game numbers. So he gained a stroke putting in 2022, lost about 1.3 in 2021, which is not all that bad, plus two in 2020, and then minus one in 2019. So if you lose, you know, if you lose a stroke putting and you're Corey Connors, that might not be the worst thing in the world because of how bad he normally is. Not remotely interested in Ricky Fowler. On these guys, Russell Henley, in on Adam Scott, in on Steven Yeager, probably out on Harris English. Henley, Scott, Yeager. I bet Adam Scott weeks ago, months ago, probably at this point, to win the Masters. Showing me signs of life again, played well at the Texas Open, finished strong. We know he's got a green jacket. He's in the midst of one of the best years of his career, or at least in recent years. Russell Henley has been splendid. Okay. His 2024 has been nothing but a tee to green, great result exhibition. Fourth place finishes in two of his last three starts. Fourth place finishes in three of his last, what is that, seven starts? Georgia guy. Pretty sure his results around here are very good. I think he had a top 10 last year. He did. Fourth last year. This is kind of where you're looking. I think it's a little bit unrealistic to think that Russell Henley is going to win the Masters. You don't need him to win the Masters. Go finish sixth. Steven Yeager, remember when I showed you the short game stuff? Were you surprised that Steven Yeager is one of the best around the green players in the world and has been for an extended period of time? I was. And I do this for a living. He's going to get into, it's got to be his first Masters start, right? Coming off the win at the Houston Open, which gets him into this, where he was very, he gained throughout the bag, but a little bit reliant on the short game, but it's not super unusual for him to be great around the green. His 2024, and even going back, I mean, he had the longest, one of the longest made cut streaks on the PGA Tour until he missed these cuts recently. But the rest of it is just a bunch of great play, and this has got to be his first start at the Masters. I'm pretty sure he just got in. Yeah, it is. So that worries me a little bit, but really like the way he plays. I don't want any Phil. I don't want any Tiger. As sick as it is, I'd probably be more interested in Phil than I would be in Tiger at this point. Matthew Pavone is kind of interesting. He has not played a lot. He did play the Porsche Singapore Classic, finished fifth, missed the cut at the Players. It's only a handful of starts since his win at the Farmers. What's he been doing? What's he been doing back there? $6,900. Let's go down to that range. Louis Oosthuizen is not in this field? I guess he's not. I don't know why I was thinking his... Oh, I guess those are all runner-up finishes that he had. Louis's been great. I thought he was in this field. I was looking for him. Wow. Okay. The other guy is Adrian Meronk. And I'm certain that nobody knows how well Meronk's been playing ever since the Ryder Cup snub, right? And then he goes to LIV. Look at his, this goes back. He won in Spain in October. Then he finished fifth in Nedbank. That's the event that Max Homa won. Had a very good end to DP World Tour year, and then start of 2024, where he goes to Australia, finishes eighth, goes to the Dubai Invitational, finishes 10th, goes to the Dubai Desert Classic, and finishes second. Those events were won by Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood. First start on LIV didn't go so well, but you're like, hey, you're getting your feet wet. 9th, 6th, 15th, 17th, big, powerful guy with better hands than the size would indicate. Adrian Meronk is a very talented player. He is $6,500. Played the Masters last year, missed the cup, but it is at least not his first start. So those are the two I was looking for. I'll go through more, but I was looking for Louis and Meronk, and I did not find Louis. It would be malpractice if I, as a golf person for a living, did not talk about Tiger Woods. You don't want anything to do with Tiger Woods here. I just can't imagine there is anything statistically that has popped up in the last couple of years that, even if healthy, shows that he is good enough. I truly believe he is still two shots better mentally than anybody else at Augusta National per round. I give him two strokes in the mental game. That still makes him like a minus one player. So I hope that he just shoves it in my face and wins this golf tournament and plays well, but it will not be with myself in tow. Sergio is actually playing a little bit better golf, or actually a lot better golf recently. Second in Mayakoba, 27th in Vegas, 15th in Jeddah, 38th in Hong Kong, goes to Macau and plays the International Series 21st, and then was in a playoff in Miami last week. We saw that he popped up on heavily on the adjusted fit model because of his stellar tee to green play. If you want to see what he's done on LIV, it looks like it's just more of the same, right? It looks like it's more unbelievable tee to green play and probably a really bulky putter. I actually thought I saw him switch putters. Yeah, you know what? This is kind of interesting. I love to go back and watch the tape on this, so don't quote me on this. But what I think happened is, I think he switched putters in Miami. It is a more mid mallet, I believe. Somebody in the chat can let me know. More mid mallet, but if he's going to pick up five strokes putting, he's super live to be in the optimal lineup because of his price. If you want to win $45,000. Literally, it's a guaranteed first place. Somebody's going to win $45,000 in this majors pool on Splash. Link is in the description. Sign up. This is the Rick Rungood contest for this week, and it's going to run for the majors. So you get in now, $100, and you get all four majors. Splash is legal, fully regulated in 40 states and DC, or 41 states and DC. I can never remember which one it is, but it's a lot. Check it out and see if it is available for you. Sneaky little Taylor Moore is back in this field, right? So two things. There are some good $6,400 Taylor Moore and $6,300 Lucas Glover are both fine plays. Glover putting a little bit better, always a great tee to green player, and the results are starting to get better. Taylor Moore, $6,400, coming off the runner-up finish at, what would that have been, Valero, and then the another top 10 or top 15 at Valspar. I'm sorry, it was in Houston, is where he finished second. So now he's got a bunch of top 30s. They're getting better. He's looking a lot like the player who won last year and not during this slump that he had kind of in the middle parts in the end of 2023. So he's very live at $6,400. Lucas Glover, very live at $6,300. If you use the code Rick on Underdog, you get a deposit match to go play the best ball where you can win $50,000 off a $10 entry and draft along the way. I will have some props that I'll tweet out over the course of the week. The other thing is, Akshay Bhatia is going to get added to this field. Now, if you look at his betting odds, he will likely be priced around here. 7,000 to 7,500 is probably, if they look at his betting odds, that is probably where he is going to come in. And there's kind of this lefty thing that goes on at the Masters. You look at the ball striking. He has gained 20 strokes ball striking in his last two starts, a win and an 11th. He was 17th at Valspar. I would have zero problem if you wanted to play Akshay significantly. Very good putter, has figured that part of his game out. Going to the broomstick. We see this sometimes. Guy gets hot. He doesn't have enough time to think about the fact that he's going to be playing in the Masters and have the chance to psych himself out for it. He's just going to show up and keep playing well. I like that a lot. Let's run a model. RickRunGood.com, custom model. This is all included in the package. What do we want to do here? Let's do a couple of things. Let's get course history in there before I forget. And it's got, I mean, it has to be the biggest course history number that we put out there all year. So 20. Crazy? I don't know. Let's do it. Driving distance, 15. Strokes gained approach. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do strokes gained approach last 36 for 15. And then we're just going to put a couple little nuggets on like the longer approach shots, 175 to 200, 200 to 225. That way we're just, you know, we're adding more to approach, but we're saying, give me the long ones. Around the green, strokes gained around the green. Let's go. I feel like this is often like a long-term one, right? So let's go last 100 rounds for 20. We have 20 left. So we've done distance, we've done approach, we've done course history, we have done around the green. What else do we want to do? Split bogey avoidance, 10 and birdie or better. Birdie or better gained. Let's do that. Number one player in our model, Scottie Scheffler, no surprise. Rom 2, watch this. Xander 3, Finau 4. The stats on Finau are really starting to be pretty crazy. And he's modeling really well. JT 5, Hideki 6, Sahith 7, Hatton 8. Wow. Rory 9, Spieth 10. Couple other notables. Brooks Koepka at 10,200 is down to 13th. Siwoo is 7,100. He's 14th. Sergio is 6,800. He's 17th. Wow. Yeah, Victor, 9,500. He's 25th in that model. Wyndham Clark is 29th in that model. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Here's what I'll tell you. It's going to be a great week. The link is in the description. I cannot wait to get down there and share with you guys everything that I experience. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. Thrilled to have you along. Thank you for the support. I'll talk to you guys soon.